Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today. I always look forward to these times of being together, the times that we have to go to the Lord in prayer, to seek Him, to open His Word, to hear from Him, to see how He has revealed Himself to be, to learn His ways, to see His promises, to know this great God who's brought us to Himself. I hope that you are having a great day today. It's kind of a rainy day here, so we had to do the filming inside rather than outside. But, you know, whether we're outside on the porch or inside the study here, either way, God is here with us to meet with us. He's given us this time, this opportunity, His Word. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, the fact that You do want us to know You, You want us to be able to grow in Your grace, to know who You are, to know Your ways. Lord, to be able to follow You, to experience You. Father, You've given us Your Word. Father, this time to be before You have blessed us so much. Father, we thank You for it. And Lord, I pray now that You'll enable us, O God, to hear what You have to say and to be able to understand it. And Father, to see how it applies to our lives. Father, speak to us, we pray, Lord. And may we be quick to hear, to heed, to obey, to apply. Father, to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I do look forward to these times, and I trust that you do as well. Again, in these times, we get to see who God is. We get to see the promises He makes to us, the requirements for experiencing those promises, just the wonderful goodness of who He is. And that's especially needed for us when we go through times of difficulty or heartaches. Probably all of us have some situation today on our mind or our heart, and we especially want to hear from God in that. Or you may be going through some especially difficult time. Excuse me. Some very difficult time in your life right now, and you are needing the Lord an even greater portion than normally. When we think about those challenges, we think about those difficulties, and we begin to think, you know, how can I face this? How can I overcome this? How can this need be met? We usually give the very pat answer. It's the biblical answer, but sometimes we just, you know, give it without thinking. Well, we just need to trust God, which is absolutely true. But why can we trust God? What is about Him that makes Him worthy of our trust? Why can you really trust God in whatever it is that you're going through in your life right now? We see the answers to this as we look today at Psalm 144. It's a Psalm of David. It's very similar in its construction and in its message to Psalm 18. In fact, as we'll refer to Psalm 18 in a little while. But nevertheless, it has a powerful message for us that we need to see. And it shows us why we can, in fact, trust God. We all know in our head that's the answer. But why can we really do that? Well, as we begin working our way through the psalm, the first thing we see is God's sufficiency. The fact that God is and has and will do and will give everything that we need to face every circumstances and every circumstance in our life. You think about what we read in verses 1 through 2. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and He in whom I take delight. God gave David every single thing that he needed. God enabled David to do everything that was before him that needed to be done. Listen, we can trust God. He'll give us everything that we need. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He won't just give us some of our need. He won't just give us most of our need. He won't just meet, you know, some portion of it, some fraction of it. But God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but that God will in fact enable us to do everything that He's put before us to do, everything that He's allowed in our life. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. if God in His sovereign will has allowed it to come into our life today, we can be assured that God will in fact give us the strength, the ability to be able to face it, to deal with it, to overcome it, whatever the case may be. David, he looks around and he looks back over his life and he says, you know, God has always been sufficient. And he knew he could trust God in the present circumstances because he knew God was sufficient. Think back in your life. Has God ever been less than completely sufficient for every problem? And all of us would have to readily admit, no, he hasn't. He has always been sufficient. Well, he is sufficient today, tomorrow, for the days to come, for eternity to come. God's sufficiency is why we can trust him. Again, we all know the head answer, trust God. But look at the solid ground we stand on when we do that. We are before a God who's in fact sufficient. But look what else we see. Not only do we see God's sufficiency, but we also see God's grace. Think about verses 3 and 4. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Think about what David is saying there. David's saying, God, the reason I can trust you and the only reason I can trust you is really because of your grace. This great sufficient God that we just talked about, you think about, why would he care about us? Why would he want to work in our life? Why would he want to provide for us? Why would he want to care for us? There's nothing in us that would attract him. We can trust him because of his grace. It is his very nature to want to work and to move in our life, to give us what we have not earned, do not deserve, and can never repay. That's the whole definition of grace. And I know we always think about that in terms of salvation, and we should. But that is not the end of our experience of God's grace. That is as wonderful as it is, as incredible as that is. God wanting to save us sinners and sending his only begotten son to live, die, and rise again to save us when we place our faith and trust in him. And in fact, giving us the ability to believe, the comprehension of the gospel, all of it's of grace. As wonderful as that is, that's not the end of God's grace for us. As believers, that is merely the beginning. As wonderful as it is merely the beginning of the experience of God's grace. He always wants to work and move, even though we do not deserve it, even though we have not earned it, even though we can never repay it. It is always by his grace. And our whole Christian life is to be based on his grace. You think about what Paul was inspired to write, and he was actually writing a prayer that he had, a prayer for the church at Ephesus. And it applies to them and applies equally to us. And he, as he prays, because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray this and to write this, we can be assured that this is in fact God's will for our life. You think about what we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You think about that, that wonderful work of God. Again, that is God's will for us in our life. What makes that possible? Why can we expect that? Only because of God's wonderful grace. Excuse me again. We can trust God because he wants us to trust him. We face problems, issues, trials. You may have some very severe ones today. Why can you trust God? Because he wants you to. He wants you to be able to put your complete weight upon him and to count upon him and, in fact, to rely upon him. And so, yes, we see God's sufficiency. We see God's grace. But notice as well, we see God's involvement. Think about what we read in verses 5 through 11. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flush forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will ever sing a new song to you, O God. Upon the harp of 10 strings I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. You think about what David is saying there. Everything is based upon God's involvement. The wonderful truth is God's not just watching over us, as comforting as that would be. And God is not just taking notes and grading us. And God's not just delegating an angel to look after us, as great as that would be. God himself is personally involved in our life, in our circumstances, in our situations. Whatever it is you're facing today, believer, you're not there alone. God is with you, and God is in fact working. I said earlier that this psalm is very closely related to Psalm 18. And you think about how Psalm 18, again, another psalm of David, how it brings out this aspect of God's involvement. In Psalm 18, David, you know, expresses the problems, the difficulty that he was in. He talks about how he prayed to the Lord because of that. And look what happens as a result of that prayer. Look at God's response. Psalm 18, I know it's a long cross-reference, but listen to verses 7 through 17. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, because they were too mighty for me. Obviously talking about wonderful work and movement of God, but notice it is God's personal involvement. David had a great need and danger. His life was threatened. David prayed. God personally intervened. We can trust God because he is personally involved in our life. I love what we read in Isaiah 41:10, where it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We can trust God because he's personally involved in our life. He's not just watching over us, again, as we said earlier, as comforting as that would be. He's not just delegating angels, as comforting as that would be. He himself is personally involved. And of course, don't forget New Testament theology. When we accept Christ, he, through his Spirit, comes to live within us. God Almighty within. God is, in fact, personally involved. But then notice the fourth aspect as we look at this psalm. We have God's blessing. The very fact, again, that God wants to bless us. Look at verses 12 through 14. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars, fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. A prayer, to be sure, but a prayer based upon confidence. that God wants to bless his people. You think about what we see in verse 15. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Obviously, this is based upon God's promises. You think about what we see in Psalm 81, and you think about verse 10. This is what God wanted to do for his people. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But then you keep reading through Psalm 81 and you see where they didn't listen to God. They wandered and God had in fact had to discipline them, chasten them, judge them. But what was God's desire if they were to return to him? Verse 16, but I would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. We can trust God because he wants to bless us. That is his goal. That is his desire. That's what motivates him, if you will, in a very real sense. He wants to bless us, and he will if we will only let him. I know we all have problems or issues, and you may have some very serious ones today. Certainly, when we look at our world, we look at current events, it causes us to be burdened and concerned. But through it all, we have a God that we can trust. Trusting God is not just a head answer, it's not just a Sunday school answer. It's the real answer from the real God who wants us to trust him. Will you do that today? Obviously, beginning first of all in salvation. Trusting that Jesus died and rose again to save you from your sin. But as a believer, will you trust him in your moment-by-moment life and living? Will you trust him in that problem that you're facing? Everything in this psalm tells us that God is worthy of our trust. Will you? Will you rest in this great God? Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you. Oh Lord God, that you are a God who invites us to trust you and you are worthy of that trust. Father, you are sufficient. You are gracious, oh God. You are involved, oh Lord. You want to bless. Father, that is your very desire. Lord, lead us to trust you with our life at large. Whatever particular situation or situations we're wrestling with today, Father, help us to trust you, we pray, O God, and to see you work and move in your sufficiency. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do hope that you have a good and godly day. Hope that these times help you to grow in your relationship with him. And I hope that as you go through the circumstances of this day, that you will know the Lord's peace and comfort and strength. And may he watch over you and may you experience him watching over you through every step of your day.